The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. The broadcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. The beautiful game from her point of view. Amy, Shireen, Signe, Claire, Rhea, just to name a few. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
These merchants of badassery.
Welcome, friends. This is Footy Prime, the broadcast, and BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime and the broads, who are all here. We know that Rhian Wilkinson, Claire Rustad are somewhere in the ether, floating around, doctoring and coaching and doing all that good work. But here on the broadcast, we've got Shireen Salty Ahmed, Signe Sigs Butler, and I'm Amy Debsey Walsh. And today we'll be welcoming a very special guest in a few minutes, and Casey Stoney, our Canadian women's national team head coach. But before we get to that, and then the best of week 18 action in NSL will be the second part of our show, we thought we'd talk about a notable Canadian on the women's side in Olivia Smith, who just won her second year straight PFA Young Player of the Year. So what do you think, Signe? We'll start with you just quickly as we hear from Shireen as well. The Canadian calling card on the world stage right now in terms of football, both the men's side and the women's side.
Love it. And I love that Liv Smith represents this new generation of Canadian talent, the tenacity, the just desire to go for goal. That's what we need to see. I think that's what people want to see from this Canadian team, is to unlock offensively. Can she stay healthy, I think, is the big question.
I agree.
But, you know, back-to-back years winning this prestigious award, I think, is a testament to her as an athlete and the choices that she's made and where to go and play. And it's only you know, coming up. What's our national flower? It's only coming up.
Poppies.
Poppies.
I was gonna say the maple leaf is our national flower.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Flower.
It's coming up. Maple. Coming up, sweet. But she's the first foreign-born player to win that award, and now she does it twice. Shireen, what are your thoughts on the award?
I'm unsurprised. When she first went to Arsenal, and don't forget, she was somebody who at the time had the highest transfer fee in the women's game, period,
yeah,
in history. I said she was going to conquer Europe. And I said that, I think, in an interview. It might have been with Andy. I can't remember. And I meant it. And I think she is. I think that she's got a really optimistic outlook. I do agree with Signe. I really hope she stays healthy, because there's a propensity to injury and whatnot. And, you know, because she's effective. But if you look at her, and her, like a pack of her attacking, she just goes through players, yeah, with this swagger, with this, oh no, you're not going to stop me, I'm from Unionville, Ontario, like kind of thing, which which is so great. So I'm thrilled for her. I'm also, she brings this kind of idea that, why is everybody surprised I'm from Canada? Canada holds greatness. And I love it. I love it for the WSL. I love it for the Canadian Women's Senior Program. I love it, period.
Well, we've got that special guest who has arrived in studio now. Casey, welcome. Thank you so much for joining the broadcast. And this is your first time. You've joined Footy Prime before, but this is your first time on the broadcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, well, I had a whole thing for you, a whole spiel, so I'll do it now. We'll just pretend I said it first. Canadian Women's National Team head coach, new-ish member of the Barclays Women's Super League Hall of Fame, and familiar voice as an analyst on the Men's World Cup World Feed, Casey Stoney. So there you go. Did the proper intro, but after you were actually welcomed in. So I know you've got a busy day of media availability, but we're so happy to have you here, and we'll just get right stuck into it if that's cool with you.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, love it. So you haven't had a home game since June 2025. And now, after a successful home World Cup for a men's national team and strong performances for your squad in 2026, how meaningful is it for you to host a European opponent for two matches as you prepare for November qualifying?
I think number one, being home. Like, we've really tried to look at opportunities. There just hasn't been that many. So to be able to come home, especially off the back of the momentum of the Men's World Cup, and hopefully some new fans that have been captured, and some new hearts that have been inspired by the game. You know, we want to get those fans behind the women's team too, you know, and behind the program. And also to bring a European country to Canada. Like, that doesn't happen that often. They don't travel very well, from my experience. So to be able to bring a competitive team like Denmark, who are a top nation, you know, to be able to bring them here, play at home, especially ahead of what we've got coming up in November, it's a crucial window for us.
Hi, Casey. I just wanted to say also thank you for being on. And we are probably the most delightful crew you'll speak with today. So I know this is really
self-proclaimed.
Great for you.
Self-proclaimed.
Self-aggrandizing. I just wanted to ask, it's a really huge year for women's soccer in Canada, you know, Women's World Cup coming up. I just wanted to actually ask what you think the biggest strength of the squad is, and then also what the biggest challenges are for the program.
I'll start with challenges and then I'll come back, because I think one of the biggest challenges, and, you know, we've done some analysis on like goal scoring and goal threats and goal shots, and like in her 23-year tenure, like Christine Sinclair had an impact on 35% of all goal involvements. Like, that's huge. Like, we have to replace that, right? And we don't have a Christine Sinclair, and I don't think it's fair to put pressure on any one player to be that person. We need to create more goals. We need to create more opportunities to score goals. We have to do things a little bit, which means we have to take more risks, right? So we have to be a little bit more risky. We have to play forward a little bit more. We have to be more dynamic. So there is a slight shift in what we're doing. Hence why we intentionally went and took on some really good tasks last year, like, and we challenged ourselves, and they weren't always good and they weren't always pretty. You know, playing America in America, we were not good. We went to Switzerland, we should have probably won the game, we didn't, you know. But having said that, a team that's just come back off a European tournament, then we go to Holland, we don't perform, but a really good test for us on there. So then we go to Japan, who played one of the best possession teams in the world in Japan, with that travel and all of that, and we don't win for five games. And that's not a problem, because we're actually creating what we want to find out. We want to find out who's got the who can problem solve, who's resilient, you know, who's the right people on the journey. How can we still create chances against these teams? And then fast forward to 2026, like, we are performing better. We are creating more chances. We are scoring more goals. We've also faced Korea, where we went down to 10 and still won the game in really difficult circumstances. That was hot. So really difficult circumstances to play Brazil in Brazil, you know. Yeah, albeit we want to win that game. We lost 1-0, but loads of learnings that if we face them again, we're better prepared for it. So I think there's challenges around scoring goals, and we're going to leave ourselves a little bit more open at times. So that transition piece that we're really trying to nail down and work on, because we're going to be a bit more risky and send more numbers forward, we will be a little bit more exposed back there. So you've got to kind of give to get, and we know that you can't have everything. So there's some challenges around that. But we've also got players in fine form right now as well that are scoring goals at their clubs. And it's like, one of the biggest challenges for me, Shireen, to be honest, is I haven't been able to pick my strongest squad since I took the job. Not once, because of fitness and availability. You know, people keep talking to me like, how good is Olivia? And I'm like, I don't know, because she's not been here 50% of the time. So,
right.
Right. But how do we keep her fit and available and playing for Canada? You know, because if you want to be the best player in the world, you've got to do it on the global stage. So we need everybody fit. We need everybody available. We need everybody performing. We need everybody competing. I think it was a little bit too easy to be in this team before. You couldn't get in it. You couldn't get out of it. And maybe I've shaken that up and that's caused some disruption. But I'm okay with that, because we need competition for places. We need people that, you know, really have the desire to compete for their country, want to play for their country and walk out with that shirt on, know that they're going to give absolutely everything. And I think we're in a place where we're getting there, right? We're getting there. We've still got some work to do, absolutely. That's why we're playing Denmark. You know, a top European opponent who can come to Canada, very organized. We might have to break. They might press us high. They might drop off. How do we problem solve in these moments? And then when I talk about like the strength of this group, it's the blend now, I think, of like our senior players who have done it, been there, but then those younger players who don't really give a rat's ass, you know, and just want to come in and no fear and have a go. And the our senior players accepting that generations are changing. And that's okay, because they come in a bit more fearless, but still representing Canada and having the pride of representing Canada and the fabric of the players that have gone before and what's been done in the program before, and bringing that forward. Like, I think we've got a good blend when everybody's fit and available. And we need to continue that. We need to continue encouraging the young players into the national team, because as a head coach, I don't have a responsibility just for now. I have a responsibility for a year, 2 years and 3 years if I'm here, you know. But I've got a responsibility for the program to make sure that the pathway is clear for those. And like, listen, you can tell I'm excited about October because I haven't seen them since June. So, you know, yeah. To get the grass and back with them will be big. And if we can keep people fit, we can keep them healthy, we can keep them performing, we've got a chance.
And just for the record, I think disruption's a great thing. So
thank you. I'm not sure the players would have agreed with you back up. Yeah.
That's all right. We like a little bit of chaos on the Broads for sure. So add it to the mix. You mentioned some of your players, you know, being in impeccable form right now. Mm-hmm. And I think leading the way there has to be Janine Sonas. Can you talk about like how impressive she's been in Denver? And also, you know, we saw her kind of return to that wing back role on your team. How much does that unlock things offensively for you?
Yeah, I think obviously we moved Janine back there, I think a year ago now, nearly. Like, and we wanted to have a look at her as a fullback because I think she's better when she arrives into the attack. When she's got everything in front of her and she's arrived. And also she's our fastest player in the team, right? So if we want to go forward, she's got recovery speed, she can get back, she can do the work. She's one of our more senior players, but generally available, touch wood, like performing really well, scoring, assisting. She's in the form of her life. She's also under a coach now that she knows because she worked with him at Man City. She's in a challenging environment where they're not winning every week because she's in an expansion team that challenges you differently. Her leadership, you know, is going to have to be different in those environments. But I think we just need to keep her where she is, you know, and keep her playing well, keep her performing. And she's having a big impact on the attack as well at fullback, which is really impressive.
And just to jump off of what Signa's asking, Casey, in addition to Janine, we talked about Olivia. Also, Chloe's having a stellar performance in the NWSL, and also DB, also someone from the program, is in the running for the Golden Boot again. What else are you looking for, though, other than the accolades when you assemble your squad?
I think, listen, you're looking at performance, you're looking at, you know, form, you're looking at like contributions as well. Like, and I'm not always looking like, yes, we want people to score, assist, but can they press? Can they win the ball back? Have they got the mentality to get back when they're beaten? You know, have they got the resilience to, when it gets really tough, to like dig in? Because if you're going to go to a major tournament and go somewhere where you've not been before, it's going to be hard. You know, if it was easy, everyone would do it, and it's not. So it's the resilience piece, and it's also the character piece. Like, only 11 players can play. What are you like when you're not playing? How are you going to contribute when you come into the game? How are you going to contribute if you didn't come into the game? How do you train every day so that a team can prepare to win? I think you're looking at all of those pieces, because when you go to a tournament, and Amy will know, like, it's about the togetherness of the group and how you're together for a long time. You know, if you have a furry strawberry, as I put it, in the group, when you enter into that tournament and things, you know, maybe don't go so well, or they start a little bit tetchy, how are they going to respond? Are they going to bring other people with them? Because negativity can spread, but positivity can spread. And we want people in there that have, like, you've got to be selfish as an athlete, right? But when you step into a team environment, you've got to leave your ego to the side a little bit. You've got to be selfless, and you've got to make team first decisions. And we're always looking at team first mentality. And if you haven't got that, that's going to be a problem. So yes, it's form, it's performance, it's all of the pieces that come together to make an international team perform.
And you alluded to those tough choices that you'd made in terms of selection and leaving some veterans out. But you also made some tough decisions in terms of like the broad scope of the program over the course of the year leading into qualification, where you elected to just play Costa Rica the one time. You had extended training period. So what has that meant to the program to really embed those principles of play and then maybe see the players express that, espouse that at their clubs? And now you get a chance to gather them back up again and maybe raise that standard again.
Obviously, we're always making like measured decisions, and we can't always choose the ideal opponent, because if we're trying to play Europeans and they're in Nations League, they're just not available, right? So when it came to June window, we had the opportunity to play Costa Rica twice, or we could have played Costa Rica and another CONCACAF. Now, I didn't see the benefit of that in terms of the team and the squad. I'd rather have more time on the grass. We pushed the players physically quite hard during that camp. We trained at a really good level. I think some of it showed in the Costa Rica performance in terms of, and they were playing fatigued in that game, you know, because we pushed them quite hard. We were able to do some testing and get some metrics that we needed. I think that was a conscious decision to like have more time, because we played a free game window in February, played a free game window in April. We hadn't had that much time on the grass. So it was to be able to train more, do a little bit more off the grass as well in terms of togetherness and building that rapport, and just get the players to be a little bit more like together and challenge themselves a little bit, because it's not Disneyland. It shouldn't be. It's going to be uncomfortable at times, and we need to make each other uncomfortable and be okay with that. So I think it was a really valuable window. It's disappointing that June, you don't see until October, because that's like a really, really long window, like the September window going, not having a July window, not seeing them till then. Like, we're fortunate that October is a friendly window for us. Some teams are going into playoffs, you know, and they haven't had their team for 4 months, but we're still connecting to the players. We're still having touch points. We're still having meetings. We're still, you know, getting out and watching games. So we're still trying to make sure that we're connected, so that when we come into October, that we're like ready to hit the ground running, albeit we won't have been together for 4 months.
You mentioned that you want to take more risks in terms of how you want to play. I know, you know, traditionally maybe the defensive DNA has been part of the Canadian team, whether it's goalkeeping or the fact you have a fortress back there and Vanessa, Kadisha and Jade, among others. You know, does that allow you, because you have this defensive acumen, to be able to work on other areas of the game? Or is that something you want to instill in the defenders as well?
We still don't want to lose that. Like, that is the DNA. We don't want to lose the defensive solidity to attack. We need to just be better in certain moments, like transitionally, because And when we are pressing, maybe we're going to go a little bit higher. We're going to go a little bit more aggressive, because I actually think it's better to keep them further away from our goal than let them closer to our goal, where we've got to defend our box for so long. And listen, as a centre-back, it's nothing worse than being in your box for 80 minutes, like trying to defend. It's tiring. So it's like, how can we, and also one of our key strengths is we're pretty good on transition when we win it. So can't we win it closer to their goal, where we haven't got to go 100 yards now to get to their goal? So I don't want to lose that. We've got fantastic defenders. We've got decent pace at the back. We've got a goalkeeper that can make amazing saves. And, you know, and if Kaelin plays or Sab plays, both of them can make amazing saves, you know. So we've got competition in there. I think it's about how do we enable to take the shackles off a little bit, you know, get a bit more freedom and creativity in the final third. Like, the amount of chances we created against Costa Rica and didn't take, so some execution pieces we still need to, like, continue to develop. But if we don't do it in training, we're not going to do it in gameplay. So we've got to, you know, push ourselves in the final third and be in there more around like how we're going to score goals.
Shireen, did you want to jump in?
I did. I had one question more on a broader scale, Casey, yes. About I'm wondering, in terms of competition, who are you thinking about, and from which teams have you actually seen the most development? Because we've seen a rise of WAFCON was so popular this year, and there's more teams qualifying for the Women's World Cup. Who are you looking at in terms of tenacity and competition?
Well, I think you've got to play a variety. You know, you've got to play Asian, African, European, because realistically you don't know who you're going to get in your group. And there is such a diversity of styles that you've got to be able to face everything. Like, I think going to Brazil was really good, because we played Zambia, played Korea, played Brazil, like three very different styles of play. So it was really good for us. So we will be identifying some really kind of key opponents. They don't always have to be top ranked. They might be unpredictable. They might be, you know, someone who sits in a low block and you've got to break them down. It might be someone who comes out and presses you really high. It might be someone who's maybe just a little bit disorganized, but actually plays a bit, you know. Zambia ended up with a six at the back and a two in front, and it was like, this is different. Like, we've got to try and break this down. How does it work? So, you know, we've got to identify who's qualified to start with, which we already know, and then who's going to further qualify in this kind of, you know, breaking the winter windows, and then identify like who have we not really faced recently and who do we need to face, who can prepare us the best, knowing that she believes is already locked in for February. It's probably the April window that's the biggest one for us to identify what opponents we want to play.
I wanted to ask you just quickly before we move on to a very important mini rapid fire segment of the broadcast, which I know you're desperate to get to, but just a quick one about the U20 Women's World Cup, the importance of that competition and the importance of seeing the likes of Annabelle Chukwu and Kaylee Hunter express themselves and influence play in their own age group.
Yeah, listen, we're really closely connected on Kaylee and Annabelle from both club and college, plus like youth age group coaches. We have quite an intentional plan. We're very mindful of like keeping them across multiple pathways, what it looks like. So, for instance, Annabelle will go to this World Cup, but she won't be involved in October so that she can be involved in November, because you've got to appreciate this is a young person who's at school, who's got education, who's got a college program, also across 20s and seniors. Like, there's a young person involved in all of that. So if we want the best Annabelle in November, maybe we just leave her alone in October. And I think the 20s World Cup is vital. Yeah. I think it drives me insane when clubs don't release players for youth tournaments, because if you look at across the board of like the top European countries, and then like a ton of Bon Matisse, you played in the 20s, you know, like these players, youth World Cups, like it's really important to give them exposure to a World Cup tournament football, to be in a pressurized environment. Hopefully they go far in the tournament so they get knockout stage, you know, pressure and environment. And you don't want that to be the first time that that hits them in 2027. You know, so we want to expose them to that in 26. We want to make sure that their development is looked after, because they're key players for us in the future.
Okay, so to our very mini rapid fire, Shireen's going to kick us off.
So when you first came on board, Casey, I asked you about poutine.
Oh, God.
So following up on that, yay or nay?
I haven't tried it because Audrey, who is our photographer, is adamant that I can only try it in Montreal.
Oh, well, that is sage advice.
Watch this space.
Okay.
Watch this space. I'm not sold on chips, gravy, and cheese, but I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah, but that's smart advice by Audrey. You got to have it in Quebec, ideally somewhere in Montreal. Yeah, so she's your person.
I'm going to do that in October. That's one of my things.
Okay, incredible. We'll loop back.
The space.
Yes, for sure. Okay, Casey Stoney, would you rather coach with your hair down or coach without a cooler to sit on?
I wouldn't coach with my hair down. No, I'd rather coach without a cooler.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you crouch? Would you stand the whole time?
I'd have to crouch and sit on the bench. I can't stand for that long because my back kills me. But I'd find another alternative.
Okay. I have to say, though, you were stunning at the Hall of Fame induction.
Oh,
for
you.
Hair down, dress.
Someone who does your hair and makeup does wonders.
Yeah. Well, don't we know it on broadcast? Yeah. So Siggy's your next.
Back to food. Okay, we know that your team, the Canadian national team, likes to have pancakes and maple syrup or like spaghetti and meat sauce. What was your go-to meal as a player? And are you a cult? Are you a creature of habit? Do you have the same pregame meal as a coach, or is it something different?
No, I don't even eat pre-match as a coach. As a player, I'm thinking internationally, this is a really random one because obviously at England, we used to have fish fingers. I would have fish fingers, mashed potato, baked beans and gravy. It's really gross, isn't it?
But it kind of is a pregame.
I'd either have that or obviously not in the morning. If it was in the morning, I would have on toast with beans or something. Otherwise, I'd have like spaghetti bolognese or pasta of some sort.
Okay. And the belly was okay with the fish fingers?
Yeah, it's just cod in a little bit.
I guess so, yeah.
So,
well, a little bit of deep fry, it's fine.
I know. They go in the oven.
Healthier version.
Yeah, yeah, it was really random. It was a thing we had, but yeah, that was my go-to.
See if you can draw the Canadian women's national team players away from pancakes and maple syrup for some fish fingers.
I don't like pancakes, so that's like a bit of a hot take, but I don't like them, so I wouldn't have them, but they are a big, big favorite in our pre-match.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very cool. Thank you so much for playing, for being amenable to that. And thanks so much for coming on the broadcast, and come back anytime. And we'll have to loop back to that poutine.
Yes, definitely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Casey. Thank best you. Of luck in the October window.
Bye.
So that was Casey Stoney of our women's national team. Always terrific. Always so candid, right? About goals and where she sees this program, where they've been. Because I think under Casey's tenure, we've seen a big swing, like a very poor end to 2025. They seem to be back playing under that identity that Sigs, you alluded to, where that solid defensive play and now layering on that offensive thrust and getting more players in really good form contributing. So that's good to see. What do you guys have anything that you pulled from that? Like, what struck you from what Casey had to say about the upcoming window and qualification?
For me, it was very much her assessment of where the program has been. Like her saying, it was too easy to get on and then not get off was, I think these are tough words that sometimes we don't want to hear because there is a huge emotional attachment for those of us that have covered the game for so long. Amy, in your case, played the game, but she's speaking hard truths that need to be said in order to go forward and acknowledging the strength of the past, taking that forward, because she also mentioned that the stalwart back is really important part of the DNA, or those are the words she used. But I mean, I love her candor. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. It's refreshing. It's really refreshing. And I do like the fact that I think taking risks has been something that, I'm not saying that Canadian teams, but I think teams in general, national teams in general, don't like to take risks.
Agreed.
But you have to in order to move forward, right? It's like getting uncomfortable gets you to the next goal on your list kind of thing. So I think that, you know, that's where the growth is to take risks. And this team needed a bit of a shakeup. And I think it's shaken in the right direction.
Yeah, peaking at the right time for sure. And speaking of growth, Casey Stoney was pitch side at a game, I think a few weeks ago at NSL, and spoke about the growth and the pushing standards, the raising standards in NSL that we've seen even prior, like last year coming into this year. And we've certainly seen it as this season has come along. So we'll very quickly get into our best 11 of week 18 following a little bit of a wrap up. But first we'll get into our league standing. So Ottawa Rapid is still top of the table at 33 points, but faltering a little bit on quite a skid for them. But they are missing big pieces, and Liv Scott and Chu is still serving that three-match ban, and they were missing DB Pridham last match, and they got overrun by the Vancouver Rise, who are rising at exactly the right time, and they leapfrogged the Halifax Tides from fifth spot into fourth. So the Roses remain in second, and they'll be at Stade Saputo on Saturday, the first CBC match of the NSL season, and all three of these mugs will be together on that program in your homes with Kate McKenna, the lovely Kate McKenna, hosting. So hopefully we see a record crowd there. AFC Toronto won 2-0 away at the Tide, so they remain in third place. And the Calgary Wild have been on a tear, but they remain in sixth position. And then just a quick score roundup. So we'll hit that matchup first, which saw the Vancouver Rise open up the Rapid for 5 goals. They won 5-1 there. Bell got her debut and first ever goal in NSL. AFC Toronto, as I mentioned, 2-0 over the Tides. And then to end week 18, it was the Roses drawing Calgary Wild. So the Roses continue to struggle at home. So it'll be interesting to see if this weekend, hopefully in front of a record-setting crowd, that they're able to shake that off a little bit and kind of move things over to see them to be more dominant at home. But why don't we start with Vancouver, Signe Buller? So we've seen Jess DeFilippo challenge Elise Bennett for the Roses for that golden boot. And then it's Bennett who's actually at the top now in double digits with 10. DeFilippo's on 9, but she contributed 2 assists. But really the talk of the town was Alex Lamotang, who was at the summit of that Lamotang. She scored an injury time to end the first half. Thank you very much.
Waka waka.
Waka waka. And then a tidy bit of business on either side of the halftime break, because then 13 seconds into the second half, she scores her second for a brace on the day and then assists for their third goal, a lovely cutback ball to Anna Bout. But let's just speak to the Vancouver Rise. I mean, it's like deja vu all over again, rounding into great form at exactly the right time.
Yeah, this is a team that was in fifth place last season, out of the playoff picture, and came all the way back to win the championship. You can't sleep on them. And they're still playing without Quinn right now, still without Nikki Stanton, still without, just players coming back into the lineup and are on managed minutes, right?
But like Shannon Weller.
Yeah, Shannon Weller. Like,
Jess Cowart. Just keep going.
Yeah, let's just keep going. They're playing the best football that they played. And when their starting 11 came out, I was like, uh-oh.
you know, yule. This is yule. No, it was like yule in a good way.
Right.
Because this is the best lineup I think we've seen them field in quite some time, but they've been getting it done just with, I think, sheer, like the win against the Tides, the come from behind win against the Tides, which was a pivotal one. And I think one game that they'll circle on the calendar this season and say that's where our season turned around, because they virtually had nobody. It was a makeshift back line. They won that game. And this week, I mean, on K-pop night at TD Place, there was no pop from the rapid at all.
Waka waka yourself.
Waka waka, I'm just trying to top you. But just the Alex Lamontagne, I think, is an underrated signing at the deadline.
Yeah.
Coming over from France, she's been in the national team setup, obviously youth national team player. I think she's had a couple caps with the national team a couple years back. And Anja Heinermüller calls her a powerhouse. Now, she did pick up a knock late in the game, so I hope that that's nothing.
Because it looks like an ankle.
Because I'm hoping it's just like a little just precautionary thing, because what we saw from her is exactly the kind of player that I think is exciting. But just like, you know, she is a powerhouse. She's exactly the way Anja Heinermüller described her.
Amy, you had a bit of a quip on air that I thought was brilliant about Lamontagne. What was it that you said?
Well, I kind of pulled from it with a big Lamontagne to climb.
I think that's so brilliant and so apt. And it was also really, fascinating to watch. I've had so much fun week 16, 17, 18, watching the chaos descend. And we've talked about this last week and the week before. But and we talked about this, of course, in one of our meetings leading up to, you know, the broadcast and how we're planning. But just, this is so good. I love that this is happening in the league. It is so boring to watch women's league and have one team win all the time. And not to say that isn't important in itself, especially for a fledgling league. However, I learned the word fledgling from Amy last and I promised I would implement it. It's important to have that. And it's not just about the chaos, although I love that. It's about, we don't want that predictability because that makes it exciting. So I'm really excited about that. And agree, Lamontagne is a fantastic addition to a team that really needed it at the time.
And then to Ottawa. I mentioned it there just in the score roundup. Like, you're noticing, like, Harris has been, she doesn't make the 11 this week. And in fact, broadcast fans, it might be the first time ever since we've been doing these best 11s that an Ottawa Rapid player does not feature on our best 11. So times are changing. And to your point, Shereen, about the parity, about it being anybody's game, I think you're really seeing that across the league as we head into the latter third of this season. But you can see the importance of a player like Liv Scott, how much she means to Jaleesa Harris and that defensive solidity, but how much Chu also lends the team as they're attacking. They want to dominate the ball. They want to be forward-minded, but she understands the game very well. And when you're missing your talisman as well, to add insult to injury in DB Pridham. And you had Johanna Friedland, who was deployed as that focal point of the attack, as that number nine. They didn't quite have the same punch going forward. But they did add, I mentioned Elise Bell, who was signed, as well as Hannah Chown, who did very well, both of them, for Simcoe County Rovers as they upset the Montreal Roses in Women's Canadian Championship a few weeks prior. But to see them added, they needed those reinforcements. Ottawa did, but they were unable to produce a performance of quality, I think, up and down that roster. I think that's fair to say, yes?
Yeah, it's fair to say. I mean, to what we've talked about Ottawa all season, up until the last 2 to 3 games, is that they've been the most consistent team,
yep.
The team with the most, if you were to watch them play, you'd be like, that's the Ottawa Rapid, like clear identity,
100%.
All of those things. And I think Ottawa's coach, Katrina Peterson, divides up the season in fives, right? So I think, I can't remember what the first two were, and pardon me, Katrina,
but
the last one was resilience.
Okay.
And I think that in order to have a season, it can't all be rosy from start to finish. From game one to game 25, it can't be all rosy. That you pick up your lumps along the way, and that makes you stronger for when the games really count. So they just have to kind of turn things around right now, and they'll be fine.
It is also like a tremendously long season when you think about it. It starts in April, it's in November. Like it's the season technically ends in October, but it's just really long, and there's the travel. It's a huge country. There's the bangs on the bodies and all that kind of stuff. So it absolutely is tough. I am also trying to remember what the five steps are, because I'm trying to remember.
She's only revealed three.
Okay, so watch the space.
Yeah, she does keep her Danish cards close to her vest. But what I appreciate about the dividing up into five is that the math is easy because it's a 25 match season. So thank you, Katrina.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Like doing the thirds, I'm like, wait, we're starting with an odd number. Anyway, like it's a lot to get your head wrapped around. But moving on to the second match of week 18, saw visiting AFC Toronto kind of shake off the previous week's loss at BMO, where they're still snake bitten to the Montreal Roses. A bit of a smash and grab job there with the visiting team, and the Roses were there, Cigna. It didn't come up rosy, but it came up roses. But it saw AFC Toronto find their footing after a first 20 minutes that saw the home side in the Tides. You were in attendance. Anybody who saw broadcast saw a very, my gosh, despondent, displeased Cigna Butler. I mean, what an expression that was. First of all, please talk about that. And then how much you need to get after Kev Corain as the NSL producer on the match. But yeah, I saw the Tides fall 2-0 to a visiting AFC Toronto.
Okay, so to the screen grab, which Jess Lisi grabbed for me at like, she took the worst vision. She has a couple. We can't see it, Shereen. It's like,
I'm going to put it up. I've got it here. It's going to be poor because of my reflection, but
okay. Yeah.
Look at this expression, you guys.
I was like, basically like, you know how I say like, I was basically doing that because number one, it was raining on and off, although it did not rain 50 millimeters as it was supposed to initially, like Noah's Ark would have been out there. It would have been terrible.
Cygnus Ark.
Yeah. Cygnus Ark. Hello. But I was texting my husband moments before that saying, I can't find the visa. and like, can you, and he was like, look for it when you go back home. And I was in the middle of like texting him about something which I thought was very important. And I think there was a stoppage in play, which is thus why they put me on camera. And I didn't know. So anyway.
Oh my God, it was so funny.
It was classic. And Kevin says that he's bringing me chocolate this weekend, and I said he also needs to bring nerds clusters.
So maybe a couple of beers. Like, I mean, he needs to throw a lot at you to make amends.
That was like he did me dirty. That was so bad. Okay, but the game itself, you know, I think Amy, as you said, the Tides started pretty well. Actually, the first 20 minutes. Without Julia Benatti, without Stella Downing, who I thought would have added, obviously, some more threats for Halifax, because I think they didn't threaten much outside of that opening 20 minutes. And then Nikki Small's goal kind of kicked things off for AFC Toronto. They hadn't really had much of the play to that point. But her goal, which kind of skipped off the turf by Annika Toth, so it was a bit of a tough goal, kicked things off. And then, of course, the penalty kick. It was a fun atmosphere. You know what? Despite the weather, the crowd was great. It was Jocelyn's birthday. Just a shout out to the Tides, who Jocelyn came over, and my boys were in attendance. I have two 11-year-old boys, and they got to meet Jocelyn, and Figaro, I think, was there too. And so it was kind of, you know, thanks for that. There was like some core memories.
Wait, who's
there.
Figaro?
I think it's the Wanderers mascot, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, is he the doggy?
He's a dog, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think last year...
I'm not up to speed on the CPL mascots.
Okay, but last year, I got to know, and I should have known, Figaro, when you dropped the name, when I was there for Jocelyn's birthday last year, there was some sort of social media drama happening where Jocelyn and Figaro were meant to be a couple. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
But it was very short-lived.
Well, obviously, they're still friends. I don't know if there's benefits involved there, but they're definitely still friends. And there was a party going on in the end zone, and there was also a lobster there. I was talking to Val Malone or Emily Vincent from the Tides, and they were like, I'm pretty sure I didn't know the lobster was coming to the party. And I was like...
The lobster mascot gate crashed.
Anyway, it was a party. It was a good time. And but it was a tough, it's a tough loss for the Tides given this point of the season. And their next three games are on the road. They have to go back. So they're in at Stade Saputo on Saturday. They go to Swangard again.
Yeah.
And then they're at McMahon Stadium. So it's a tough stretch of games. Stephen Hart's back with the team, mm-hmm. of course, after being off for a family medical emergency. So they'll, you know, we'll see. This is the time, you know, they've talked about, sorry, I'm talking a long time. They've talked a lot about giving up points this season in games where they shouldn't have, where they felt they needed a better result. And let's hope, you know, for their sake that those don't come back to bite them like a shark.
Well done. Jocelyn, well done. Reference, wink, and also per the lobster mascot, they're going to have to claw their way back over that playoff line. Shireen. I don't know who that is. Shireen.
Kevin Corrine.
I know. That would have been Shireen at the rain, like soaked and soggy
monsoon
pitch at Wanderers
season.
Ground. Shireen.
Oh,
any thoughts on the Tides or AFC Toronto?
I was just so happy to see Sig in the stands. There's something about seeing Sig at the Tides matches that I love. And it, you know, it's great. But I was worried about the weather because, like, Sig was texting us the day before being like, there's like monsoon storm warnings.
No, it was bad.
It was a safety issue at one point they were considering. I think you had mentioned just what to do in terms of player safety, because that's a real thing. It's kind of rough when you've seen the Tides. We've talked about having a bad day at the office and everyone has it and whatnot. But it's not as if AFC Toronto, who have also struggled recently, it's not as if their playing was perfect. And like I watched, and we'll segue to this, I watched, you know, Calgary, Montreal after. It was two games on Sunday, so watched immediately after that. And the level of football was just a bit, it didn't feel the same. I don't know if it was weather or it's just that time of year that bodies are tired and whatnot, but that's what I felt. I always love watching the crowd at Tides. I love seeing people come out in their rain gear. Like, a little bit of rain's not going to affect people in Halifax. It's like par for the course. They're probably happy it wasn't freezing rain. So like in that way, but in terms of the actual football, I was like, oh, this isn't great, because I, as you know, and this is a good segue, Ames, I really enjoyed Montreal, Calgary, which was afterwards. And there was for me a difference in the level, not level of play necessarily, but the quality of the football. I thought it was my favorite match for the weekend, for week 18. It was definitely my favorite. And we can jump into that.
Yes, let's do. It's a perfect segue.
Can I just say one more thing? Because just giving credit where it's due to AFC Toronto, they had a couple injuries in the back line. Just making note of that. So Victoria Pickett got injured early in the match. They had to make adjustments there. Jordan Brewster came in, then Jordan Brewster got hurt. So they had to make some adjustments, especially in their back line. And after the game, we were talking to Sarah Rollins and Lena Solano, and they were both saying that, you know, it's a next player up mentality with this team. So Colby Barnett stepping into the back and filling the void. And obviously the play of Shalina Zdorsky and Sabrina D'Angelo can't be, you know, counted out. I mean, I think that they've really solidified things back there. So just credit where it's due.
And also, before Shireen, will go back to you for your thoughts on that game that you enjoyed between Montreal and Calgary. But Marko Milanovic and AFC Toronto are going to be under the cosh because they have those injuries. There's also the Kai Novak. It looked like a shoulder separation. I haven't seen any updates on it, but looked very painful. It was a shoulder to shoulder challenge, and then she hit the deck. But the medical staff used her jersey as a sling to take her off, so it looked pretty textbook shoulder separation. But then also, we were talking to Casey Stoney about the U20 Women's World Cup. Olivia Chisholm and Kaylee Hunter will be available to AFC Toronto this coming weekend, but then after that, depending how the team does, they could be missing for much of the month of September. So, you know, they're going to be in some trouble there. And I think there was an addition. I wrote it down and I covered the game, so I should know the name off the top of my head, but there was a signing, and Shireen, maybe you can talk to this as well. Did her name make it on here? It did not. Damn it. But there's a player from the new AFC Toronto Academy, formerly NDC Ontario, who was signed in advance of that game and was available off the bench. So we'll see more and more players like that in this league, whether it's youth development contracts or that pipeline directly from the academy to the first team.
Yeah, the academy is getting a launch. It's official launch on Sunday, and they'll be AFC is playing, Toronto is playing at BMO, and maybe will not be Susan Lucci, and maybe win.
My goodness, I love that reference.
For those of you that know all my children. Never won a daytime Emmy. It's getting to that point. And I was in the press room, as you know, we talked about last time. And Marco's like, yeah, there's definitely a curse in trying to do that. But anyways, my point is maybe that new blood, that fresh blood. I'm a huge fan of youth academies. We were just interviewing Casey Stoney, and she was talking about the importance of youth development. I don't think people understand. Do they think you skip those formative 16 to 20 and just make a senior team? Like feeding in and developing the youth squads and the youth programs are so critical. I feel like that's really important for academies. I do think with the knowledge and the data we have now of the amount of girls that leave sport when they're pubescent or leave at the age 14, Canadian Women in Sport gave us this report a couple of years ago. So we know that there's this, not a crisis, there's this huge exodus of girls leaving sport. Like, what can we do around that? How do we keep and retain those players in these sports? And it's not just for soccer, it's for everything. So, but just knowing what we know now and developing academies with that information, with this, you know, with these ideas and with these principles, I think is really important. So, yeah, I'm hoping that maybe, you know, AFC Toronto pulls out a little bit, you know, the results a little bit different. Sig and I actually have an event with the Vermilion Vanguard and some of the AFC Toronto players. So I'm excited about that. And, you know, as mentioned, we are dazzling and delightful. So we're going to bring our charm out there. I may or may not have a vermilion colored hijab for the occasion.
Ooh. Very fancy.
Yeah, pretty fancy. So I'm excited about that. I don't even remember what the question was.
Yeah, it's okay. I just wanted to say the player's name that I forgot was Isabella Lanzalotta, 16-year-old soccer player for Mississauga, who is one of the first players to join the professional academy for AFC Toronto. But to that match between the Roses and the Wild, I agree with you, Shireen. It was, I always agree with Stigna, but I also agree with you, Shireen. It was a great match to listen to and to watch, and a lot happening and back and forth. A couple of goals that were disallowed, one by Paquin for the Roses and another by Collie Johnson for the Calgary Wild. But yeah, like a high octane back and forth open match, right?
It was like I love Collie Johnson's goal, to be honest, and it's unfortunate. I think there was up to three that were called off. Collie Johnson.
I think there was two, and there was one by Cullen where he said, yes, no.
Exactly. So it wasn't actually because it hit the side of the net. That's right. Yeah. But just that scene. Calgary with that, what you've called, Amy, attacking thrust, which is my new favorite two words, just about their incredible press. Like, I just thought it was fantastic to see that kind of, you know, just that passion from them. And Jorian Bokum, I'm sorry, her goal was probably one of my favorites this entire season. I thought she was formidable, and giving her space to be able to do that, like, she's like, she knew what she was doing. Is she the one that eats Fruity Pebbles before?
That's correct. And an energy drink.
Okay, so, you know, maybe there's something about Fruity Pebbles that I probably should have had more of when I was playing. But I love the fact that they're just not giving up. You talked about, you know, Casey was just talking about that resilience. And that's something we see. For me, this match was wild. It's not a Waka Waka pun, but like that's all I got.
Yeah, it's just on brand, right?
And yeah, it's on. But I also felt like, you know, Montreal was feeding it back and forth, and it's kind of it's almost like there's a little bit of surprise when Calgary pulls up this way and ends this way. So I actually like that surprise. I don't know if it's assumed that Calgary will be as difficult to play, and I'm glad that they're starting to become like very difficult in certain areas. And this was good. I thought Caitlin Talbert had some really good moments, had some moments that there were some missteps, but I mean, on the whole, it's good to see them. And Michaela Moore, you know, had one, I think it was Colin and Craig that were on the call for that match.
Yep.
And there was, like, again, some misreading of situations. You're never going to get everything right 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, Calgary Wild is starting to look really cohesive.
Yep. It was their third match unbeaten now. So they had two wins and then a draw versus Montreal. So speaking of being difficult to play against, but it's a very different Calgary that we're seeing, Sigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally different. And I think, you know, when you have nothing to lose, that you have nothing to lose, so you have everything to play for, then, you know, like, but there's the pressure's off, really, right? Nobody's really expecting them to make a, but they could be making a charge right now at the end of the season. I don't know. They'd have to run the table. Again, I haven't done the math, but.
Well, I haven't done the math either, but I just pulled up the league standings again. So they're on 9 points.
Is.
I mean, listen, it's not out of the realm of possible, right? Like, for them to, if there's a couple of teams that hit some misfortune, whether it's injuries or just bad results, like, maybe they're not so far out of it, even though it is a pretty big gulf between sixth and fifth right now. If you're looking at the Wild on 9 points and the Halifax Tides on 21. But I think, as you said, Sigs, like, You just play every single game that's in front of you. You look to for the performance first, which we've seen from Calgary, and then you're able to string together a couple of results.
Yeah.
They might chip away at that.
And also, if I can just jump in here, Blaney's not back yet. So they're also not playing with their coach, or even, sorry, interim head coach. So it's like, oh my goodness, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to have to do that, that instability or lack of consistency on that front is pretty, to be able to do this is pretty formidable. So give them the dues where they're.
Yeah. And they're playing for the jersey. They're playing for the, you know, the owl on the jersey or the crest. They're playing for the badge, and they're playing for contracts next year. You know, there's a lot to play for. There's a lot to play for. And I'm just really liking what I'm seeing, and I don't think I'd want to play the Calgary Wild right now if I'm a team that's, you know, I mean, team fighting for a playoff spot or a team that's in a playoff spot. I don't think I'd want to be playing the Calgary Wild right now.
Yep, and I think a lot of the success has been born out of solidity, not only in the back line, but up and down that spine. So you look at Talbert's strong performances. Yes, she gives one away. To see Bennett go to the lead in the Golden Boot race. It was a great finish, by the way. She still had a lot to do, but gifted that a little bit by Talbert. But she has to recover and respond to that injury in the moment and then come up with a couple of good saves. But then Otto and Moore in front of her. I think Alessino and Boughton have done very well to lock down the middle of the park, with Maggie Doherty-Howard still missing, Allie Hess on the season-ending injury, and then Tegan Stewart playing that attacking midfielder role continues to be that creative force that can unlock a defense. And then Jorian Bauckham as your classic, robust center forward. I think formidable is the word that you use, Shireen. It's perfect for her. So kudos to you, Calgary Wild. Long may this continue as you steal points from other teams. So on to that, our best 11 for week 18, I'll just go through it audibly for all of our audio listeners. We've got Sabrina D'Angelo in net for AFC Toronto. From right to left on our back line, Julianne Valeron is the lone representative for the Tides for week 18. Sarah Rollins for AFC Toronto. Tori Tumuth, and apologies, I've got the Calgary Wild logo there. I will fix that for our publications later. Colby Barnett for AFC Toronto. Tori Tumuth obviously is with the Rise. And then our midfield, we've shoehorned Jorian Bauckham in there on the right. Nikki Small from AFC Toronto. And about from the Vancouver Rise, who's playing some extraordinary football. Mimi Alidou for the Roses. And a front three of Alex Lamontagne from the Rise. Elise Bennett from the Roses, and Jess DeFilippo, Jess the Flip herself from the Vancouver Rise. She's been locked in to that slot for little while now on the broadcast best 11. So a couple of quick chimes from each of you guys. Let's start with you, Shireen. Any players that are left out that you'd like to highlight, or anybody in particular on this starting 11 that you want to underline?
I wanted to say that the goalkeeping, although it hasn't been clean sheets fully, props to that. It's been entertaining. It's been interesting to see. I remember, I think it was, maybe it was last week, it was Karpenko in that and doing these jumping jacks when Stewart was up against over the pen. It was giving Steph Labbe at the Olympics. And just a nut to the goalkeepers. I know, you know, the goal is always, you know, pun intended, a clean sheet. It doesn't always happen. So just, you know, respect to everybody out there doing their most. and doing the best. But this is for me, this what we've picked for the 11 is fantastic. And actually, I do want to say this because Sig, you brought this up. Rollins is one of the Iron Women this season. And just nod to that because that's incredible. It was, you know, a really big shoes from Emma Regan last year, but to be able to do that, it takes an incredible amount of not only physical strength, but mental strength as well. And Rollins, for being so young, I think I'd say Rollins every flipping week, because just I think she is absolutely creating that brick wall or giving that confidence to the back line, even playing alongside Zdorsky, who is Shalina's like storied. So, like, you know, hijab tip to Rollins.
Yeah, love that. Siggy's?
I think we talked about Jory and Bakum. I was just going to say that I think that I can't remember, and I should know this, but has she scored in successive games? I believe she has. Is this unlocking the kind of goal scoring power or streak that she had with Hibs like a couple years ago? We'll see as the season kind of concludes. I thought Reyes was really good again. She was on our best 11 last week for Vancouver. Lucky she didn't get a second red card. I'll just point that out in the game. She had double shirt tug within 5 minutes of each other.
Oh my goodness.
I thought she was going to get the boot, but she did not. So that's something.
Lost her head for a second.
You might want to just tidy that up a little bit, but she's been a very good player for the Rise this season.
Yep, I agree with that. I'm just checking on the Bakum shout. So remember that come from behind victory versus the Rise a few weeks ago when they won 3-2 at the Death. She scored with her face. Remember that one? And then the 4-3 victory versus the Ottawa Rapid. She also scored in that beautiful kind of spinorama goal. And then she scored in this contest. So that's three matches straight running that she's scored. So she's on four goals. And we talked about Jory and Bakum maybe a month ago. And we talked about doing the right things in the game, but not contributing offensively, not getting on the score sheet, and how important that was for your center forward. And now she's doing it, and you're seeing all the pieces come together around her. And also a shout out, you mentioned Leah Blaney, not there, but like to Corey Babington for what he's done in the interim, and obviously Sinead McSherry, who's been there all along. So yeah, things coming together for the Wild. So hat tips and hijab tips all around here from the Broads. Okay, I can take that off the screen probably, Amy. Here we go. Like, you know when something's just up for long enough? I know. We're back and we're in full focus. So I think we'll leave it there, friends. I will just say very quickly so I don't forget, Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary as we try to do here in the Broads. And thank you for broadening your horizons with us. We chatted with Casey Stoney. And I think here you'll see your face probably in a number of other outlets and interviews, or whether it's video or in print. But hopefully here we got a special flavor and a special spice of Casey Stoney as she's able to put it all out here and feel comfortable to chat with the Broads. I think that's what we do, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think definitely so too.
I could like wax poetic about how great we are.
I loved when you like shouted ourselves out during the interview with Casey Stoney. Yeah, I know. We are delightful. Okay, friends, thank you for being here. And listeners and viewers, thank you for being here too. And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Finish splash.
Catch us on the CBC and catch Shireen and Cigna at Nickel 9 Distillery tonight if this drops in time, hosting a very special Vermilion Vanguard event, right? Where you've got Shalina Zdorsky, Nikki Small, and Sabrina D'Angelo. But really, the two stars, why you're showing up, Shireen Ahmed and Signe Butler.
But I do want to add, I'm really excited about this weekend, and look out for our TikToks, because you're still going to come with a vengeance.
I'd say that with a very different tone. Look out for the TikToks. Okay, bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Bye.